You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello, and after a whopping 200 events played, Paul Waring is finally a winner on the European Tour after claiming a nail-biting victory at the Nordea Masters.
Obviously ecstatic. You know, I've been through a few ups and downs in my career with injuries, some good golf played, a few other bits and bobs along the way. So, you know, actually to finally get across the line, I'm, you know, absolutely ecstatic right now.
We'll hear more from the Englishman who prevailed in a playoff over Thomas Aiken of South Africa.
I gave myself a lot of chances, played good golf, tee to green, and unfortunate the way that it finished, but it's not the tee shot that suits me the most, hitting it left to right, having to draw in the last, but you know, these things happen, and got a lot of positive things to take to the next few weeks.
All the fallout from Sweden to come, plus we'll look ahead to the next event, the D plus D Real Czech Masters in Prague. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by fellow European Tour professional, fellow Surrey County member, fellow England youth international, and my captain, Richard Boxall.
That's a very nice introduction, Robert. Thank you very much.
And all true.
All very, very true. You know, those days when we used to play for Surrey. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about you this morning when I was having a shower, but
Well, when you started, I thought you were going somewhere else.
No, no. But I was thinking about it. I thought, God, we go back quite a long way, don't we? About 15 years of age, 14 probably.
Do you remember the crimson sweaters for Surrey County?
Yeah, I do very well. Yeah,
so deep sort of maroon.
Yeah, they were, but they
with
were
an oversized badge.
Yes, it doesn't. Yes, it was. Doesn't seem very long ago that though, does it?
And if you think not really.
That is 40 years ago.
A lot of golf shots have gone under the bridge, as they say.
They've gone under the bridge, hit the bridge, hit the bridge, hit the top of the bridge, gone out of bounds. They've gone everywhere.
All sides
anyway,
of the bridge.
Start of the show, Robert. I said hello. You said hello. What do you want to ask me?
I want to ask you what it must be like for Paul Waring, 200 events, to finally get out over the line.
Well, quite a relief, really, because he's had he turned pro, what, 07, came out and he finished second in Jobo, which, incidentally, is a qualifying event for the Open Championship. So he picked up a spot there. That got him in. Must have thought, well, you know, this isn't too bad. Did well, very nearly won on the Challenge Tour when he first turned pro. And he's thrown a couple of top tens in since then, and I would think it'd be quite a relief because he's had troubles with injury, as we've all been well informed of that down the last sort of 18 months, 2 years. So, yes, it must be a relief. I've always thought he was a good player, and I've always, you know, kept an eye on him, really, because I always fancied he might win one soon.
You never know, though. You never know until you get over the line, do you?
No, it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not easy. And he had to go to a playoff with Thomas Aiken, who is used to winning, more used to winning on the European Tour.
Yeah. Well, I was having my roast dinner yesterday, Robert. Chicken, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts and all that. And
spatchcock?
Yes, no, I didn't do it that style. I just roasted extra large.
Do you know what spatchcock is?
Yes, I do. You cut it down the middle and display it out.
Just like they do in Nando's. Exactly. Although there are other chicken outlets available.
There are. What was the question you asked me?
I'm only talking to you here.
I know.
You're the only person I'm talking to. We were talking about Paul Waring.
Oh, yes. No, no. I thought he was feeling the pressure a little bit, you know, down the last...
Well, there is pressure.
Yeah,
he should
four
be
or five holes.
Yeah.
Wild tee shot on the 17th. He had a brilliant shot from, I think it was 173 yards to the flag. Back right flag, ball miles above his feet, almost down on the metal of the club. Had to hit it right over the bunker. Draw it in. You're looking at me.
Well, no.
Why are you yawning?
But you're doing the right thing. You're painting a picture. That's
exactly.
That's what our podcast listeners want to hear. Yeah, you're painting a picture. Through your educated eyes.
Through the educated eyes. Anyway, drew it in and a good two-putt and left himself a very nasty, smelly little four and a half footer down the slope. But anyway, he rolled it in and made his par down the last.
But that didn't...
Into a playoff.
Yes, because did he not have to watch his playing... It's not really partner, is it?
No.
Make a birdie at the last.
He was actually very unlucky. Waring had no shot in the bunker, had both feet out and was right, had to, you know, bend both knees, Robert. Something that you and I would not be able to do nowadays without coming up and blading it across the green.
Well, I think really, on this occasion, you can only speak for yourself.
And well, I like to involve you in it as well.
I know.
But anyway, he
11 Aiken. Over, round one of the British Par 3 Championship.
Yes, you were, weren't you?
I was 11 over.
You played well, though.
I'm at two under the second round.
Did you get any birdies?
Two under. Oh, festooned with birdies in the second round. I had birdies in the first round as well, funny enough.
Yeah. Well, go on.
Not often you hit a sandwich out of bounds, is it? On the same hole twice.
No.
Twice.
No, twice is not.
Sandwich, out of bounds, twice.
I have done that at Croncersier on the 15th.
Have you?
On the left-hand side with a new green, thinned it out of bounds, screaming, hit the fence, hit the fence.
And it didn't?
No.
No.
Straight. It's amazing, straight through the middle.
Yeah.
You might as well tell everyone listening about your second round. I mean, you shot... So what's the par 54?
Do you know, I played with Andrew Sherbourne, again, was in our youth team.
Yeah.
Our England youth team, all those years back, 1982, yeah. St. Andrews, in front of the old lady there, we were there, tuned up. And I played with Andrew, how many years later is that? It's like 40 years later
we're
playing. And then I played with Charlie Hull, who played some fantastic golf in the second round at the British Par 3. We tied 52 each. I shot my age, Richard. I beat my age.
You play more holes.
I don't know. 18 holes. It counts. It counts.
No, it was... it was par 54, isn't it? Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
So you were 52. Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
I wanted you to get that round in because the first one, when you told me at breakfast this morning that you'd shot 11 over...
You just said pardon.
I just wanted to say, surely that must give you an indication you never want to play again.
No, but you know what? Mark McNulty and Mark Mooland sidled onto the first tee as I was starting my second loop on the first day. How's it going? McNulty said. And I said, not that well, actually. 7 over. Yeah, he says... The touch and the feel, that's what goes.
You know,
they were basking in scores of sort of 100 and they finished. Yeah. They're all feeling very good about themselves and laughing at my expense.
It's a sad old thing.
Well, you know, it's one of those things you can't blame them, really.
No,
they have very little going for them in this sort of stage in their lives and, you know, I sort of brighten their day up.
That's right.
7 over after 9.
Talk's a good game.
Well, wearing... Certainly is.
It certainly is, yeah. Harping back to... He was very unlucky in that bunker. Could only just get it out.
You were flexed knees. That's where you got distracted.
Yeah, and then and Aiken played a great shot down to about 5 feet, I'd say, past the hole. Great little pitch from Waring to about foot. So then he had to watch and see whether Aiken could hold this putt to get into a playoff.
Well, you say watch. He was actually praying he'd miss.
Oh, of course he was. Yeah. Of course you would. You would do. Anyway,
goodness, he's missed. That's so unlucky.
But then Aiken... That's right. But then Aiken in the playoff hole... Great putt from Aiken. But in the playoff hole, he had a diabolical t-shirt. Miles right into the water.
Yeah.
Dropped it and then knocked it into a bush. Got a free drop after that somehow. Didn't get it right. Came up short. Nearly hold the chip, but it went about a foot by, and that left him two putts for victory.
Yeah, return to form for Aiken. He'll be disappointed he didn't win, but for Paul Waring, it's, you know, after 200 goes.
Oh, yes, nice.
He's got to feel great about things now.
Massively.
You've got to back yourself in this game. And
you'd think he'd go on a nice little run now, wouldn't you? I don't know whether it is going to be playing.
I agree with you. I really like his swing. I really like it. Yeah. I really like his action. I see no reason, with the confidence that this should give him, that he can't press on.
No. Well, I think that you've got a nice run now, haven't you? You've got Czech, you've got Denmark, you've got Croncersier, and then you've got Holland after that.
All nice events.
Week to the Ryder Cup.
All nice events, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting, that.
Max Kiefer finished third.
Yeah,
just one shot away.
Yeah, and another one that I know our producer of this very show quite fancies him to win a tournament fairly soon in the next few weeks. And
well, he's you know, he's played, he's been in the thick of it, he's been around leaderboards.
Yeah, he went through that
stuff.
Good run a couple of years ago.
Yes,
do you remember?
He did.
22 cuts on the trot, but changed his coach, I believe, as well.
That can work for you and work against you, can't it?
It can do. Yes.
Yeah, there's no guarantees with that, but
no.
But a really good finish for him. And to Bjørn Erlendsen endorsing his prospects as a Ryder Cupper in a few weeks' time.
Well, moved now into eighth spot.
We'll get to that a little bit later on.
We will do. But
hasn't he been impressive?
Yes, he's been fantastic. He's done it when he's had to do it.
And if you're the captain, Thomas Bjørn, that's the sort of performance you want from somebody, you know, really playing hard towards the end and playing their way into the side. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah. I'm never sure about all this. You know, somebody has not been playing well all season, but then decides to enter the last two tournaments of qualifying in Europe, and then if they play all right, they'll get picked. I don't see it like that.
I was going to look for some social media, and it's very short. Just two people bothered to tweet.
Okay, cool.
Yes, Danny Willett. So congrats to my pal Paul Waring. Long time coming, and we certainly agree with that. He's been a good player for a long, long time. Ollie Wilson said, "Congrats, pal. Only a matter of time." Because Ollie had that experience himself, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
What, did he have 10 second place finishes?
9 times.
And then he goes to Scotland and wins out of nowhere with no form whatsoever.
No form. And
at the Dunhill Links Championship.
I'm not sure whether he was a sponsor's invite, you know.
Well, you're here to provide, you know, extra colour. You've just come up with that with a sort of a question mark.
Yeah, casually looking through the glass at my producer.
You just lobbed a grenade in there with a question mark. I'm not sure.
No.
He was a sponsor's invite. He's just won again on the challenge tour, Ollie Wilson.
Did he?
Yes, Richard.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, in Sweden, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah.
Are you saying that's a fact?
I am saying that's a fact.
I like to nail you. Nail you to your facts, and you're saying that is a fact.
That is a fact. Oliver Wilson won a challenge tour event in Sweden.
I'm just reading what Matt Vines, our producer, has written down here.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently a month ago, the champion this week, Paul Waring, tweeted, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf, count them, I hate golf. I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf. I hate golf, 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 I hate golf. That was the entire tweet. Rant.
That's 17 times he said that. He missed one out then.
Would you count it quickly there?
I did, yeah, but... Listen, Robert, you know what it's like. It drives you mental.
OK, let's hear from Paul. He is on the line now. Paul, you must be feeling fantastic after your 200th go at trying to win on the European Tour.
Yeah, obviously, absolutely made up, ecstatic. You know, it's been a long time coming. It's 11 years out on tour and my first win, so obviously absolutely made up to finally get over the line.
So, Paul, you had a few top tens. Did you, you know, were you starting to think to yourself, do you know what, this might never, ever happen for me?
It's always in the back of your mind, that. But again, you kind of just keep going and you try not to make it a thing that, you know, you can't ever then get over that line. You're always trying to sort of improve and get better and go from there, really. It's, you know, you try not to make it sort of a big mental problem.
When you look back at it, Paul, and the other events that you've played, what, I know you won and that was the difference, but what was the difference?
I think, to be fair, the putter was really, really good for the week. I think I gained over 12 shots on the field from putting alone. So obviously it created a lot of good chances, but I actually took them this week, which was probably a difference over previous weeks.
Paul, it's been quite a journey for you. You know, you struggled a lot in recent years with some pretty bad injuries.
Yeah, obviously nice to come through the other side of it. I think there was it shows, you know, you've got to have a little bit of tenacity to come through those sorts of things now and again. I had a great team around me as well, which really helped me get through those times. So obviously to go and win a peg, you know, that real special team that's around me, you know, that absolutely made up.
Paul, I was talking to Richard earlier on. We spotted, our erstwhile producer spotted that you had tweeted about 31 days ago, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf. 17 times Richard Boxall counted you said that. What was your mental state at the time when you were tweeting at 1:45 in the morning?
It was a bit more tongue-in-cheek than that, in total honesty. I just obviously been through a bit of a patch of poor golf, obviously a little bit frustrated. I was at a point where I was trying to obviously improve. You know, I finished top 60 for the first time last season, and I tried to make some changes, made some decisions about trying to move it forward. Obviously still worked as hard as I ever have, and I just wasn't getting the results. So I think it was more of a frustration than anything else. Like I said, it was a bit more tongue-in-cheek than that as well.
So after a great win in the Nordea, Paul, you've got four really nice weeks coming up now. How do you fancy your chances of picking another one up?
Well, I'm obviously, you know, I'm playing well. You don't get across the line by playing poorly. So, you know, I feel good in myself. Obviously, I'm surprised how much that took out of me last week. Really hit the wall last night. I always thought after my first win I'd be out partying all night. But obviously, the whole sort of stress of the week, I think I was tied for the lead after the second and third rounds. It wasn't far off a wire to wire win. I can't believe how much that took out of me. I feel like my golf game's in a good place. I just hope I can recover quickly enough and get my mind back in the right place to hopefully go again.
So, Paul, what's it going to be like for you now from the position you were in? All of a sudden, after four magical days in Sweden, you are fully exempt for now, the next season, and the season after that.
Well, it obviously takes a lot of pressure off. Like I said previously, I've had 11 years out here now, having to give a card year after year. You know, that makes a massive difference to me. It might give me a few more opportunities to push forward in how I go about my days, how I go about sort of changing technique if I need to. Just gives me a bit more freedom now to actually hopefully improve and push on.
Paul, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. And I guess we'll see you in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks very much for having me on, guys.
It's amazing, Richard, isn't it, for Paul, way outside the top 100 in the Race to Dubai, not even keeping his card. Then he gets the win and he's got all the things that go with it in terms of he can be assured of his profession for the next two or three seasons. I mean, that must be an amazing feeling.
Well, you can plan, Rob. You know, that's the thing. He was outside the top 140, you know, and he's gone to 63rd now. So the thing that will be top of his list right now is getting into the DP World Tour Championship at the end of the year.
And 4 days ago, all he's worried about is getting inside 110. Now he's thinking top 60. Here we go, Dubai.
Correct.
What a crazy game.
It is mad, isn't it?
It is.
Never happened to you and I.
Never, ever happened to you and I, Richard. Just raindrops all the time for us. No sunshine. Stats-wise, he moves from 330th in the world to 165th. So that's a massive jump in the official world golf rankings. And he is the seventh European Tour win, or it is the seventh European Tour win from a player from England this season. Paisley, Fleetwood, Pepperell, Wallace, twice, and Richard McAvoy. So for the rest of the leaderboard, let's get the thoughts of the runner-up, Thomas Aiken.
Yeah, I mean, I started off well. I had a couple of little mishaps on four and five and then came back nicely. I just couldn't sink any putts. That was pretty much the story of the whole week. I think I really sunk much outside of 15 feet the whole week. So I gave myself a lot of chances, played good golf, tee to green, and unfortunate the way that it finished, but it's not the the tee shot that suits me the most, hitting it left to right, having to draw in the last, but you know, these things happen, and got a lot of positive things to take to the next few weeks.
He's got a very repetitive way of playing with that slider, that fade that he hits all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it when, you know, on a lot of tees, he tees it up on the right-hand side, especially did that a lot on the 18th, on the first playoff hole. And it's really, as you heard him say in that interview there, it's not really his shape. You know, you've got the trees hanging out over the left-hand side. It's, you really want to be starting it down the right and moving it from right to left. But he's a three-time winner on the European Tour. Picked up a nice few shekels, whatever you want to call it, Robert, a few euros. But it didn't pan out for him. He would admit that was a rock-bottom tee shot here on the first playoff hole.
So, slider Thomas Aiken, the repetitive fade into second spot, narrowly misses in the playoff. Max Kiefer, chip for Stardom, through the glass here,
the looking glass window.
It's not far away, and third place for the German was his best finish this season. And he was asked for an assessment of where his game is right now.
It's probably close to the best it's ever been. I mean, I hardly missed any shots in all 4 days. I just didn't make any putts over the first 2 days. Probably played better the first 2 days than on the weekend, ball striking wise. But yeah, if I can keep this up, that would be very nice. It's not, maybe not so much the swing, but the mind on the swing is clearer. What I'm going to do. I'm not somebody who comes from trying out lots of different things. I'm somebody who's coming out from over consistency, doing the same thing over and over again, trusting it even if it doesn't work one day. And at the moment, that's the plan and it's working.
Good for Maximilian, obviously a player gaining confidence. At the right time of the year, you can have a nice little run now with those tournaments you were talking about, Richard. Give me the top 10, please.
The top 10. OK, there was three Englishmen tied for 10th. Andrew Johnson, Matthew Southgate and Lee Slattery. And then tied 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th. There was Robert Rock, Hayden Porteous, Jazz, Jana Watanand. And I don't think I put an extra nond in there, thank goodness. I normally do. And Andre Pavan. Fifth place was Lucas Herbert from Australia. Bjørn Olesen did what he needed to do, finished fourth. He's now qualified in eighth spot in the Ryder Cup list. Third was Maximilian Kiefer. Second, South African Thomas Aiken. And a first-time win at the 200th attempt for Paul Waring. Finished 14 under, beat Aiken in the playoff.
Now, last week's predictions. This year, we'd be having a presenter versus co-presenter head-to-head. So you get two picks each, one who you think will win, and one who you think might win outside last year's Race to Dubai rankings top 50. Those are the rules. You get 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, but minus 5, crucially, for a missed cut, which is rearing its ugly head again this week. I, in the presenter seat, went for Richard McAvoy off the back of his win recently in Germany. He finished 34th, so all square, 0 points. Aaron Rye finished 24th, just outside the top 20, nearly a five-pointer, also 0 points. You would think nil point, not very good. However, Jamie Spence, Lucas Bjerregaard, no points after he withdrew, and Nicholas Kolsart's 5-over-par missed cut, minus 5 for your side, Richard. So my 0 gained 5 yes. points on your minus 5, furnished by the redoubtable Jamie Spence.
Well, yes, it's actually not that. It's overall, though, it's still quite close, Robert. There's only 20 in it.
105 for the presenter, 85 for the co-presenter. That's the way it rolls.
But is that That's not just you, is it? That's all presenters.
Yes, but sometimes I'm in your seat. That's why that I've sort of brought the co-presenters up.
Oh, that's why we're on 85, isn't it?
That's why I've squeezed it closer.
That's why we're so low.
I'm sort of playing against myself. It's rubbish.
Well.
Ryder Cup rankings, Richard.
Okay, the four that are qualifying right now from the European Tour list are Francesco Molinari, Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton, and Tommy Fleetwood. And then if you go to the world points list, you've got John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Alex Noren and Torbjørn Olesen. So the team, the eight that are qualified right now, Robert.
With 2 weeks to go, Richard.
2 weeks to go, Rob. Molinari, Rose, Rahm, McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, Tyrrell Hatton and Torbjørn Olesen are the eight that are going to generate. And then there's one. I think that's pretty much going to stay like that now, Rob. There are possibilities on that world points list that someone like Cabrera Bayo could do something. But I think it's going to be those eight, and then it's going to come down to four very difficult picks for Thomas Bjorn.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're captain. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Would you choose...
Oh, question. I like it.
Would you choose Eddie Pepperell?
No.
Okay. Russell Knox?
No.
Why?
Because you're going to pick Stenson, you're going to pick Poulter, you're going to pick Casey, plus one.
Do you not think the wheel turns, Rob, and people fall off eventually? I mean, what, Garcia?
Well, Garcia. Are you going to pick Poulter? Let's run through this.
Yes, you would.
Are you going to pick Casey?
I don't know.
All right, fair enough. Are you going to pick Stenson?
Again, I don't know.
Really? So you would put... They are there or thereabouts, and you would put two rookies in front of those three?
I don't think Cabrera Bayo will get picked.
But we didn't talk about Cabrera Bayo right there.
No, but he's right there.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll get picked. I think Poulter will get picked.
I'm saying Poulter, Casey, Stenson get picked. Plus one.
I'd say Poulter and Stenson get
picked. So, therefore, looking for a spot would be Garcia, Cabrera Bayo.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's not that far
away.
I
don't go with the put a bit of experience in now, because I think they're
But we've got plenty of rookies
good.
In the team already.
Well, I don't think that matters anymore. I really don't. They can all play. They've all got there because they're top quality players.
Okay. Well, as you've brought this up, it's reared its ugly head. Give me your four picks then.
I would go Poulter, Casey.
Same.
Stenson.
Same.
And I probably would pick Cabrera Bayo.
Point well made then, not.
Why? No, I just said I don't think he'll get a pick. I didn't say I was picking him.
You would pick the same people as me.
I would pick, well, who did you go for? Cabrera Bayo, Poulter, Casey and Stenson.
Yeah, those four.
Yeah, well, who's actually 12th in that list, Robert? Where's Stenson?
There's two lists, you see, so you've got to work out which one you think is the... I mean, Cabrera Bayo is right there on the edge of the world points list, and he has got FedEx Cup events coming that will count.
Yeah. Well, he might actually slide in.
He could slide his way in, yeah, he could. And if Erlison drops out, he definitely gets a pick. So Erlison's in.
Yeah, I'd say
that's
Erlison's
done and dusted.
In, yeah.
Either way, he's in.
And the other ones are too far ahead, so they're all in. Yeah, no, he's got a difficult situation.
The Garcia is the one. Yeah. The Garcia is the one that's sticking out right now.
Well, you can't really pick him. What was he, 128?
But he top 10 at the French Open on that golf course. He likes it.
Yeah, but I mean, if your game's not on, you can't play, can you? You might like it. I like Royal Lytham, but if my game's not on, I'm not going to get around it.
Mm. Does he bring a lot to the team room, Sergio? Probably.
Probably. We've never had the luxury of being in there to find out, but could do.
He's got that Spanish passion.
Well, yes, he has. He has got that. When does he pick them? The Monday after the Danish?
It's going to be in Switzerland, I think, the Wednesday of Switzerland.
Oh, he's moving it on further,
I think
they?
It's Wednesday of Switzerland. He's going to announce the picks on Sky Sports. On Sky Sports.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we talked about Erlison, a bit of movement, and he says he's looking forward to securing his Ryder Cup place with a strong showing at the final qualify event and his home event, of course, in Denmark, the Made in Denmark, next week.
If I can keep grinding and working like I did this week and did last week to try and get better, the results will come, so that's all I can do. Yeah, I've had great support all week. It's been fantastic. All the Swedes supporting me also, and quite a few Danish people out here. So it's been a great week. Obviously, I would love to have been on top of the leaderboard, but I still had a great week, and I feel like I played some good golf as well.
And of course, good news for Torbjørn Olesen is bad news for someone who was in the eight who is no longer in the eight, and that person would be, or one of them, is Ian Poulter.
Yeah.
And he tweeted last week, he said, "Nothing drives me quite like that little gold trophy. Blood, sweat and tears every time I've played. I need to play well next week to try and keep my automatic top eight position. It will be my last attempt in New Jersey. Let's bring that trophy back to Europe." So you can see what... And it has been all year on Ian Poulter's mind, the Ryder Cup.
Oh, there's no question about it. He's... an amazing chap, really, isn't he? He can turn things. He does seem to turn his everything round. I mean, he's not massively consistent all the time, but when he needs to do it, he does it. I think he's a bit remarkable man, and
He wants to be an automatic qualifier, but the conversation with Poulter is, if he's close, you pick him.
Yeah, I would have thought. Yeah,
if he's close,
so,
you pick him. That's the accepted wisdom, and he's going to get picked.
Well, if he's close, let's say he got close 6 months ago and then was on a real downer. Not so sure I would pick him, but as he's gradually moved along, as the season's gone on, he's got closer and closer and closer. Still playing well. Yeah, of course you'd pick him now.
All day long, yeah. The new jersey, of course, he's referring to is this week's PGA Tour event, the first FedEx Cup event, the Northern Trust. So he'll be there. Rafa Cabrera-Bello will be there.
Yes.
Trying to come from outside into the automatic eight. They've got 2 weeks. Rafa will have and Pulse will have, I would think, two FedEx Cup events to do that.
And that's it.
And that will be it. Qualifying, if they can, on the world points list.
Do you think Thomas Bjorn has had a chat with Cabrera-Bello?
I think I would have thought he'd have chatted with quite a few that are on the periphery.
Yeah.
You know, show me something, do something. I don't think Thomas Peters is out of the picture right now either.
No, I think you'd want Thomas Peters again is another one. I think
4 points in the last Ryder Cup.
Great player.
4 points away.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean to do it again.
No, but it means he's got the aptitude for it and the atmosphere suits him. He's got the big time mentality.
Yeah, and he's done it before. You know, I think he won Denmark and then finished second in the Czech. Was Czech the final qualifier?
No, Denmark it was, and he birdied the last three holes to win because it was the Swede.
Yeah, he went win.
Who took seven at the last?
Yeah, Lagergren.
Joachim Lagergren. Yeah, he played great all week, and then he just had one bad hole at the end.
No, he did. Yeah,
and Thomas birdied the last three holes, needing to sort of win, and he played with Darren Clarke, the captain, the first two rounds.
It all fitted beautifully.
It did. He did an Eduardo Molinari birdie the last three holes when he forced his way in Scotland.
Good memory, Robert.
Yeah, I see.
Very good.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how Cabrera-Bello and Ian Poulter play in New Jersey and see what happens after that. It's not quite the same, but it's almost as exciting as the Ryder Cup itself, trying to figure out who's going to get in, who's out, who's going to be crying into their cornflakes.
Who's crying in their but you're not coming over, are you?
No, not going to be in Paris. I'm doing highlights.
Oh, right. So there'll be no 3:30, 4 o'clock get-ups for you then?
No. I'll be up when you're up watching it.
Certainly will.
And then carrying on when you're asleep, doing the highlights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the Fancy Race to Dubai game, Ingmar Bergman still leads the overall global standings while Tom Butterworth got the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai Show Mini League, listener Andrew Harris was the highest scorer from the Nordea Masters while Chris Coles is still out in front. Check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the D+D Real Czech Masters this week on europeantour.com. Rich, top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please.
Okay, in 10th spot, the man we're all talking about at the moment, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Tyrrell Hatton's 9th. Russell Knox, not one of Robert's picks, is in 8th. John Rahm is 7th. Tobjorn Olesen, 6th. 5th is Alex Noren. Rory McIlroy is 4th. Tommy Fleetwood's 3rd. Patrick Reed is 2nd, but leading the way, and rightfully so, is Francesco Molinari from Italy.
Now, in other news, it's congratulations to the following. Scotland's Callum Hill won his maiden Challenge Tour title at the Galgorm Resort and Spa Northern Ireland Open, presented by Modest Golf. Is there a longer title in the world of golf than that?
No, I don't think there is. If you could just have Jazz Watanonanond in there, it would be hugely as the winner. It would be a hugely long title, wouldn't it?
A massive score in Scrabble.
Or Priad Jun Hazavastikal.
You've been keeping your eye on the Thai players, haven't you?
Well, I have to do a lot of them during the year. And I have to tell you, like Jun Hazavastikal, you have to be very careful. You know, you have to take quite a lot of repetition to get that right.
David Shacklady, who won for the first time the Stasure Tour at the VTB Russian Open Golf Championship and on the PGA Tour at the Wyndham Championship. Brant Snedeker, another player making a late run for Ryder Cup inclusion, looking for a pick from captain Jim Furyk. The American finished 3 shots clear of compatriot Webb Simpson, who was the 8th spot, the last qualifier for the automatic spots. And Taiwan's CT Pan, who hit it out of bounds at the last hole, looked like he was going to win for the first time with his partner on the bag, and then whipped it out of bounds.
Oof.
Absolutely gutted he was. But,
oh, but
a really good-looking player, a really good golfer. What about Snedeker? Would you pick him?
Would I pick
Snedeker? He had a 59 this week.
Yeah,
first round 59.
Yes. Yeah, I probably would, actually.
Okay.
Think I would. I would pick him. 59, Rob. We haven't had one on the European Tour yet. I always feel a 59 only counts when it's past 72. I mean, it doesn't because it's a 59. But do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I feel the
Well, it's
the
like
standard.
The low scoring in the majors, 63. But what was it to par?
Yeah.
It's all a little bit...
I mean, if you had a, you know, if you had a par 68, shot 59, would you be...
You'd take it.
Well, you would, but would you be as excited?
Well, sometimes...
I always just feel...
Sometimes those low pars, though, have par fives that have become par fours.
Yes.
By about a yard. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it reduces the par.
Yeah, no, you know, I see
like,
what you're saying.
Like some of the US Open par 70s are really not par 70s.
No, they're 72s, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I always... It's probably because I'm old, Rob, but I always feel 72, you know, you've got to shoot 13 under.
Yeah, which takes some doing.
Does take some doing.
Yeah. It'll probably when the first one gets skittled on the European Tour, then there'll be a whole bunch of them. It's happened on the Challenge Tour, just not on the main tour.
I didn't know that. Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. Martin Keimer shot 59 the Challenge Tour. There's a bunch of people have done it.
Par 71 or 2?
I think it was par 62, but it was a 59.
It was windy. It was windy.
Whoa, tricky day, tricky day. Rich, before we get to the next event on the European Tour, just give us the top 10 in the world, please.
I will. 10th is Jason Day. Ricky Fowler is 9th. 8th is Jordan Spieth. McIlroy is 7th. Francesco Molinari is up to 6th now. John Rahm, 5th. Justin Rose is 4th. Justin Thomas is 3rd. 2nd is Brooks Koepka, and leading the way still is Dustin Johnson.
So apart from Jason Day, the rest are playing Ryder Cup. Pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's very good.
Now let's concentrate on matters in Prague at the Albatross Golf Resort, the D+D Real Czech Masters. Very nice venue to go and play golf, Richard.
Yes, I've always liked it there, ever since we first started going there. Do you remember Mariansky Lasny?
Gosh, yes, I remember her well.
Yeah, yeah, she liked you. But... No, you do remember that place.
Yes,
don't you?
I do, yeah.
Peter Teravanian won there
and also
Jonathan
Lomas. And also where what was the name of the course where the castle in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was in the sort of foreground.
It wasn't Diamond something, was it?
No, that's in Austria, Diamond Country Club, yeah.
I can't remember. Something like the Dick Van Dyke course or something.
It was
I can't remember.
You're right, it was nothing like that. But I do remember the castle. It was a beautiful old thing, wasn't it?
Langer won there, didn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think he did.
The sort of thing you throw at me and say, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you invite me to go along with you, and I think in Boxall doesn't know.
I invite you to make the mistake.
You invite me to join you in the mistake, and I just can't trust you.
The par four, uphill right to left, you could see the castle on the right-hand side.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
There you go.
Hayden Porteous, defending champion.
Yep. Hayden Porteous, it is.
It's quite a long course, nearly 7,500
yards. Yeah, 7,467 yards in length. That's par of 72. You've got a tough-ish finishing hole. A lot of the players hit an iron off the tee. There's water down the left-hand side, but I think they have cut the water in a little bit further at the front there now, front left. So your second shot, with the flag over on the left-hand side, is a tight shot over water. Again, we say every single week, it's vital to hit the fairways. You don't hit the fairways, you can't do the scoring. But it's a good layout, it's a good course, it's a good tournament. The players are looked after very well there, Robert, indeed. And I'll just give you a little run-through as to who's playing. He's won here before, Thomas Peters. He's playing Lee Westwood. Last week's winner, Paul Waring, is playing. Eddie Pepperell has had a good season. Lucas Bjerregaard had to withdraw last week, but back playing again, hopefully. Romain Wattel, one-time winner last year in Holland on the tour. Jordan Smith, Renato Paratori, missed the cut last week in Sweden as the defending champion, and SSP Chaurasia playing as well. Also, you've got Padraig Harrington, Danny Willett, and John Daly from the United States is playing as well.
Vines has been busy, our producer. Carlstein Golf Club was the name of the fairy tale.
Oh, was it?
Carlstein, yeah.
Spelt with a C or a K?
He's troweled that out.
Spelt with a K as well.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, so did you mention Harrington, Willett, and Daly playing?
I did, Robert, yes.
Yes.
But you're only supposed to listen to me.
Very difficult to find a winner this week, I think.
And it is, but are you putting me into... All right, have I jumped the gun there?
No, you haven't.
I'm
sort of saying, who are you going for, Richard?
Because
we have the Ryder Cup agenda happening. People want to either go there and impress if they can't actually make it into the eight places. They want to go there and knock Thomas Bjorn's Danish socks off.
Right, okay. Well, do you want to know...
I do.
Everybody does know the format. You can repeat it again if you want, Robert. But you've got to pick somebody from outside.
Anyone that you want to win in the field.
2017 and anyone you want to win. Right, so anyone I want to win, I'm going to go a man who's going to cause a bit of a stir for the brain of Thomas Bjorn, and I'm going to go for Matt Wallace.
Matt Wallace, who is not that far away in the Ryder Cup rankings.
No, he's not that far away. No. I mean, I'm not so sure that would get him in with the prize money that's here this week, but it would get him a lot closer. You know, anyone who's playing well coming into this, like Wallace is, and then you go up and pick a, you know, and pick a tournament off.
We're led to believe they've got a chance of getting picked.
We've got a, we have a feeling they might do. Well, anyway, okay, so Matt Wallace is my one.
I'm going to counter that with Thomas Peters, who played well at the PGA Championship.
Yes.
And he had a late run the last time we talked about that. Won at Denmark, birdie in the last three holes. That's in a week's time. So he's won at this course before Thomas Peters. And I think after his good performance at the PGA, he's there or thereabouts with his game. So if he has a really big 2 weeks, Thomas Bjorn is going to take a look at him. So I'm going to go Thomas Peters, and I'm going to go for Beef, who finished top 10 last week but was outside the top 100 last year on the 2017 race to Dubai.
Right, and I am going to counter that with Julian Suri, who was outside the top 50 last year. He finished 52nd. But he always seems to play quite well around about this time of the year. Obviously, there's going to be no chance of picking for Ryder Cups or anything like that, even though he's an American. But I just fancy him to do well. It's sort of his time of the year.
Do you think it's sort of biorhythm thing with Julian? What is the reason you think at this time of year it's all good?
I don't know. It could be a case, Robert. It could be. I mean, he's a good player, Julian Suri, but it could be a case. You know, a lot of players, when you get on that nice little run in Europe, it's not a Rolex event. It's they're nice, good, solid, healthy tournaments, and maybe you just feel a little more comfortable. Feels maybe not quite so good as they are in the Rolex and the majors and the WGCs.
Do you know what? We shall see in a few days' time. We will. That is it for now. Next week, we will review the D plus D Real Czech Masters and look ahead to the last counting event before Thomas Bjorn makes his picks, the Made in Denmark. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for
Matt Wallace to make things confusing for Thomas Bjorn, and outside the top 50 from last year's race Dubai 2017, Julian Suri.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Thomas Peters, a former champ at the Albatross, and of course the Beef. We'll see you next week.
I forget every week he's going to do that.